What's up, everybody? It's your man, Danelle, a.k.a. Small Guy Promotions, a.k.a. Omaha Fatty, coming to you with another podcast episode of What's Up, Omaha. Today, I have my boy, Kyle Ophi, in the building, in his building. You know, we're not in the same building, but he is here on this episode of What's Up, Omaha. We're going to talk about business, jiu-jitsu, catching up. So, man, how you doing today, sir?
I'm doing good, man. I'm feeling good. What's up, Omaha? You know, excited to be here for sure. And, I mean, we're practicing responsible social distancing, which is great. I love it.
Yeah, man. So that's the crazy thing. So I just started going back to jiu-jitsu, man. So outside of that, I've been practicing social distancing. That first day, like walking back into the dojo, was like, this is kind of weird, man.
Yeah, I see a lot of like all these like boxers are wearing like the face masks, you know, to protect themselves. Like you're hitting somebody in the head and protecting your face. I love it, you know, protecting your respiratory system.
Yep. I know we hadn't been wearing, well, I know Eric Coffin was there last night and he had his mask on training and stuff, but the Muay Thai guys, they have theirs on, but like nobody else had mask on, like rolling.
Yeah. So, we don't need to worry about brain injuries. Just the face stuff, just the coronavirus. But I mean, it's, you know, it's awesome that they're able to do that and still practice what they do, you know, while also being responsible with it and you know, saving lives, you know.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. So we live out here in, you know, Papillion, and I just saw the other day that the founder of Ming's restaurant that's out here, Chinese restaurant, passed away from COVID. So
I did see that. It's, you know, it's just, it stinks. You know, he's a good guy, and that restaurant's, you know, I would almost say it's a staple of Omaha, like central Omaha, you know, and so they have good food. I hope they continue their restaurant, and, you know, I hope they continue to survive without him, but rest his soul for sure.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. Sounds like the son is in there keeping things going, so.
Good. Glad to hear there's a little bit of stability and normalcy. I know how hard it is when, you know, a close relative passes away. So, yeah, it's just good for him, you know, and I mean, it's only a couple of days after he passed away, right? And
June 8th.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, so we've got a couple of weeks on it and that's good to see that he's still in the restaurant and keeping things busy and keeping.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You know, that's definitely what I support. I mean, I support local business in general, but the restaurants for sure. So
I know you do, man. You're like, you hype me up all the time, like with my piercing shop, Sushi Balloon, and just with like the gym and all these restaurants. I mean, they don't call you the Omaha Fatty for nothing, right?
Yeah. I've indulged probably a little too much, man. My body was paying for it those first couple of days back on the mats, man.
Yeah, but I mean, you're still feeling good, right? You're still looking good. You know, you keep in.
Yeah. Like,
you lost
some extra weight.
You did pick up a little bit extra.
I did, but that's all right, man.
It ain't no big deal. It comes right back off for you. I've seen where you were when you were, you know, 230, 250 or whatever, and I see where you're at now, and it's amazing, that journey. I have a hard time putting on weight, you know.
Yeah.
You just seem to take it off pretty dang quick, but
man, it you know, and that's what I was hoping too. I was like, because basically what was going on was I was sitting around so much during like the quarantine, like I would go for walks and stuff or whatever, but right. I was working overtime, and I was working 12, 14, 15 hour days some days, and I was just like, dude, I'm not getting enough movement in my day. So like,
you're just staying stagnant and chilling, and I get you. I was out of work. So Nebraska closed for the most part county by county, right? So
yep.
I think Douglas County was on maybe the 23rd of March, and then Sarpy County, where I work, was the 28th. I spent like 6 weeks at home doing almost nothing. I did start growing a garden. I call it my pandemic garden because it freaked me out a little bit.
Nice.
So that's going well. I'm still taking care of it though, and I just turned 25 last Monday, so I got
my mom bought me. Happy birthday, brother!
Thank you, dude. I love, you know, I'm super happy. It's the first year I feel a little bit older. Like, people always ask you for your birthday, oh, you feel old yet? You know, you feel older? You feel 25? Yeah. It's like, yeah, I do. I feel 30 now.
Just wait.
My mom bought me a sprinkler, and I could tell I'm old because I really appreciated the gift of a sprinkler.
Yeah.
And that's been a blessing for my garden, and all my crops are doing so much better because my garden's actually about 25 minutes away from where I live, so I don't get out there all the time and every day. So it's nice to just leave this timed sprinkler on for an hour or two and come back, shut it off, and I don't have to really be present for it. So
nice.
Letting it do its own thing and pulling weeds and yeah, just hands and knees, just plucking.
What you got growing?
A lot of Brussels sprouts. I had too many growing, so I just had to pull quite a few out. I'm growing tomatoes, I'm growing onions, carrots, nice. Broccoli. I mean, we even got corn, I think it's shooting up right now. So I'm really excited for the sweet corn we got going on. And
nice.
I live in an apartment, so we've got a deck garden going on right now. The squirrels have been an issue, and you know what helps is I was telling the lady below me this too. She's got a little garden with some pepper plants, and I'm like, you know what, my squirrels like the pepper plants. They like the carrots, really like the carrots. Took about half of mine out, and cayenne pepper really helps. You sprinkle some cayenne pepper on your plants, and they don't come around for a couple of weeks, and that's been great for me.
Oh, nice. That's, you know, we've been slacking this year. I say we, but I didn't really have
it's you, right?
Yeah, Mitzi last year, she planted some stuff, and she wanted to do it again this year. And then, like you said, pandemic garden, I was like, dude, we should start putting stuff back there, and we just never did it. And then she went to Menards, and like all the plant seeds were gone. So I think we missed it.
So, yeah, I ended up going to three or four different stores at multiple different times, just because I couldn't find fencing here, and I found fencing there, but I couldn't find fence posts, and so it was a lot of like trying to mix and match parts and pieces from different realtors and stuff like that. And
yeah,
it's been all right though. It's a learning process for me because it's my first year, so a lot of things I don't think are they're growing well, but maybe they're not growing as much as they should be, and maybe I'm not actively participating as much as I should be. But
yeah,
next year it's going to be a different ball game. We're going to have all the corn, all the Brussels sprouts, and
this year a little bit's going to be fine. Yeah, that's the big part.
100%, man. 100%. What's been your new favorite restaurant? Have you had like a lot of takeout recently?
Man, since we've been doing the pandemic thing, staying home, I've tried to make sure that we go out Friday through Sunday, especially when I was working a bunch of overtime, because I was like, we got all this extra money, you know, let's give
right,
it back.
You're not.
So, man, there's been a lot of good places, like the Thai Orchid out here in
Papillion. Dude, was just going to say, Thai Orchid. So Mercy Thai is closed. You know, I don't know if they still are, but they were closed for the first few weeks of the pandemic. Now, Mercy Thai is our favorite place to go. So we're like, what other Thai places? And tell you what, Thai Orchid's, you know, that's running its money for the number one spot, dude. Like,
yeah, dude,
love it. Love the peppers, the fresh veggies, and yeah.
You try their stuffed chicken wing?
No.
Go back, man. Try that. It's like this fried. Oh, dude, I don't even know how they do it. I don't even know how.
It's like a little appetizer.
Yep.
Yeah. Nice. But yeah, I always do the. I do, what is it? The red curry's really good. I'm a spice guy, dude. Level 10's all the way across the board, and
really?
Tell you what, it could. Yeah, absolutely. My girlfriend's the one who got me into a lot of spice stuff. So like we started, I was like all level 7, 8, 9, and then 10s, you know, all the time. So they put some, I don't know what peppers they put in there, but every once in a while it gets you going, get some tears in your eyes, and you feel, it feels so good.
I like just a nice, like, kick. Like, you know, give me like a 4, like, you know.
Oh, a kick to me is like 8 maybe, you know.
Oh, man, yeah, no, I can't, do that, no. I mean, I'll have to try it. That was our first time there, and I can't remember what level I got because I wasn't sure. I was like, I think I played it real safe. And, like, sometimes with, you know, the kids, I don't want to get something that's too high because we're sharing stuff.
So. And they want to try. Yeah. Oh, man. I gave one of our friends was staying. She picked up her kids, and she lives out of state. So she picked up her kids from their dad's house, and we all had Thai orchid. And I got a level 10, and one of the kids go, "Hey, can I try that?" And I go, "Absolutely." And oh, it's so hot. You know, it was funny. It was hilarious. So, yeah, Thai orchid's been amazing. And delicious food there, and I love all these lists of, like, the black owned restaurants that I gotta try. I was actually over at the Malcolm X Memorial during the protests a few weeks ago, and saw, what is it, Time Out Chickens right there, and I'm like, man, it's so busy. Man, I have not either, and so I really want to try that. That's something new that I want to try. But
so from what I hear, there's always like even during regular times, there's always like a 45 minute wait.
Holy smokes. Yeah, that's busy. But I mean, that means it's good food. Like, if there's that much of a wait, you go to New York, or I mean, even, what is it, Franklin's Barbecue in Texas, you're waiting 6 hours. People wait from like 3 a.m. till 10 when they open. That's just crazy. Drinking beers and hanging out until they open. And man, you got some good food. And tell you what, drunk people can eat. So I'm sure that's part of that culture, you know?
Well, and that's another thing. You said barbecue. We gave Porky Butts a try for the first time. And that place is pretty good. I just did a review. I wrote the review, but we haven't posted it yet.
Where is that Porky Butts? I think I saw a picture of you.
It's 154th and Ruggles. So it's like just off of Maple, just north.
Yeah.
So it's out of the ways, but it was good, man. And I actually, like, the like, one thing that was really good were their French fries. They do like a they had some kind of barbecue seasoning on top of the French fries, which I never had, like, from anywhere else. So it's cool what they do with some of their spices and stuff, man. Like the tartar sauce, it tasted like it had dill in it. And, like, I didn't like it so much, but the potato salad, I think they used horseradish. First couple of bites was good. Yeah, you would, because it's got that little extra.
Well, my dad, he has a garden, and so he's been doing that for 5-8 years, whatever. He grows horseradish there, and he cans it himself and makes everything. And man, homemade horseradish is the best. You get stuff at the store, and it's like, whatever, this is okay. But the flavor profile of true horseradish is delicious.
Well, you would love the potato salad there, man, because I'm pretty sure that's what it is. And, like, my first couple of bites, I was like, ooh, you know, it's different. And then as I dug in a little more, I was like, yeah, that's probably a little too much for me. So, but Mitzi loved it. So
for sure.
Yeah. But, you know, enough to talk about all the food and whatnot, man. You know,
all right.
Want to talk about you and what you're doing, and you know, how long you've been doing it, Sushi Balloon.
Sushi Balloon body piercing. So let's see, so Sushi Balloon body piercing is a project of mine. I've been piercing for, I'm going on my 5th year in piercing in Nebraska. Started here, apprenticed here, and fell in love with it immediately. I decided to open my own shop July 10th of last year, and I'm actually inside of a tattoo shop, an existing tattoo shop, so it's my own little space. I rent it out, and I turn 1 year old next month. So I just realized that, you know, 10% or 15% of the time that I've been totally open, I haven't been able to work because coronavirus. But
yeah, that's crazy.
I specialize in high quality body jewelry, a professional manner. All of my products are made in the United States or Canada. I'm very proud of what I carry because it's things I actually believe in. And a lot of people don't understand that, you know, not all jewelry is created equal. And it's a lot of education. You can get a $20 piercing or you can get a $150 piercing. The jewelry isn't the same there, and neither is the service too.
Right.
So I pride myself in taking time with clients and really just explaining the process and how to heal a piercing and what if this happens. I have people ask so many questions. I'd say over the last, you know, 2 or 3 days, I've had a few clients each day, and I've probably spent at least an hour with all of them. And it's only been jewelry changes, but we get into such good conversation and deep conversation. And part of that's me kind of nerding out about body jewelry and things I like. And part of it's, you know, really just having a conversation with somebody like we're doing here. You know, I want to treat everybody as my friend. I think everybody's, you know, equal in terms of body jewelry and what they deserve. You know, we all deserve the highest quality of everything, in my opinion. And if you want to pay the money, I want to give that to you, and I want to give you a proper service.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's dope, man. Yeah. I like that approach to it all, man. So what's the, you know, you were talking about nerding out on it and whatnot. What's the like education process behind it? Like, do you just do an apprenticeship type of deal to get started, or like, how's that all break down?
Yeah. So as far as like how I learned how to pierce, I started, as it's a one-on-one apprenticeship usually. So I ask a mentor, hey, can you teach me this? And it took me 4 years to get into a tattoo shop. I wanted to be in one since I was 16, and you know, I turned 18 and they finally took my phone number. And then I was 20 and they're like, all right, time for you to come on in, man. Like, we're ready for you. And so you learn. And my apprenticeship was pretty quick. I would have liked to, learn a little bit more before I was on my own in piercing, but you know, that's in the rear view now. I continue my education. There's a lot of seminars you can take, whether it's seminars on like needle application and the theories that we as piercers have noticed and healing processes. We talk about, I guess, for example, in January of this year, I went to Colorado Springs to visit about 50 other piercers who came to. And we all had deep conversations on like, what do we want to offer our clients? What piercings are this group of people not the best on? And maybe they can help people who might have struggles on different piercings too. So it was all a lot of conversation about different techniques and just learning a little bit more about what we do too.
Yeah, well, that makes sense, because just because you know how to pierce an ear doesn't mean you know how to pierce like a nose or a navel,
right?
Nipple or whatever. Exactly.
And in addition to that, there's different ways of piercing a nipple, and there's different ways of piercing a nose. You know, you can pierce a nose. You can use a clamp and pinch the nose and pierce it from outside in. You can use a little hemostat, like those little tweezers, and pierce it from outside in. And then you can even not use any tools and pierce it from the inside out, you know, going outwards. So there's not one way to pierce any part of the body correctly, but there's a million different ways to pierce it incorrectly. And that's what we're trying to kind of hash out too.
Right, right. Yeah. So what's the, like, how do you get licensed for that industry? Like, how does it work? Like, do you have to go through like a state test or?
Okay, yeah. So there's not necessarily a state test. There's kind of like a couple pieces of paper, and it's kind of you hitting all these check marks. I have my bloodborne pathogens and basic first aid certifications, two of those. CPR is optional. Those first two are major. And then you have to say, hey, I actually work at a tattoo shop. Nebraska is one of the easier shops, in my opinion, to get licensed in. Whereas like New Mexico's tough, from what I've heard from friends who work there. If you want to come there from a different state, you have to have like 3 years of experience. You have to have like photos of the piercings you've done, and you have to have like clients sign them off, off on those photos saying, hey, this person did pierce me. And so you have to have a checklist of things, a complete checklist of things. Nebraska's not too difficult, which is, it's kind of lame in my opinion, if I'm being honest, but it was all right. I got in the door. I was at a what I thought was a reputable shop. My philosophy kind of changed, and I decided to venture out on my own over this last year. And it's been a blessing, I will say. I've learned so much more than I did in the past 3-4 years, and not just about business because I'm doing my own thing, but I've learned a lot about piercing and how things heal and the proper methods of getting something to heal.
Yeah.
And which is surprisingly, like, you think you got to do a lot with a piercing to get it to heal, but it's surprisingly like minimal, like legit, don't touch it. You know, as long as it's pierced correctly, if you don't touch it, usually heals pretty well. And right. Then you just got to rinse it a little bit. Excuse me. I'm kind of flubbing my words.
That's all good, brother.
Yeah.
So one of the things that you said in that response was, like, you know, being certified for like different, like, you know, CPR or whatever. Like,
yeah.
Have you ever had any instances, because, you know, it's pain involved, like where people are passing out? I would have never even thought of you having to like have that kind of experience to pierce, but that makes sense. Yeah. Because
I've definitely had to use basic first aid, you know. I haven't had to use CPR, thankfully. You know, that doesn't really take too much, but basic first aid, I've had people pass out and hit the floor, and that was in my old studio. In this studio, I pierce people laying down. So even if they pass out, they're already just there. I don't have to worry about it as much. I just kind of deglove, get them their own thing. And since I have been piercing people laying down, I notice a significant decrease in the amount of people who pass out.
Really?
Yeah, I would. And this is all just kind of guessing, you know, I would say that if you're sitting up and you get pierced and that adrenaline spike kind of hits, I would say like you get kind of a head rush, maybe.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I'm not a scientist, I'm a piercer, so I can't say anything for sure. You know, I can't, people expect me to say diagnose infections and stuff like that. I'm like, nah, go to a doctor. I'm like, hey, does this look messed up? I'm like, well, you know, it looks like you've been messing with it a little bit. Maybe. I don't think it's an infection, but if you're really concerned, you gotta go see a doctor to get that checked out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's so minimal.
Well, and that's funny. Like I recently saw, I don't even know where I saw, somewhere on social media, but this guy was sitting up and he was getting his nipple pierced and he was like, yeah, I'll be cool. And they put the clamps on. He's like, ooh, that hurts. So then, like, they did it. And then all of a sudden, he was, like, he stopped talking. And he just fell back on the table.
I've seen that a number of times, man. And, like, a lot of the times, you can tell when somebody's going out. Their color flushes from their face. You know, their eyes get kind of wide. They might get sweaty and stuff like that. And it's pretty straight across the board. You might notice somebody says, oh man, you know, I got some black rings going around my eyes because they're getting tunnel vision.
But
recently that hasn't been an issue, thank goodness. I did have a couple people drop and it was very unexpected, because we'll have maybe like a client's friend, they didn't get anything pierced, but holy smokes, they were in that establishment and they saw something, some blood or something, and fall right over. Okay. And that's when we have the worst issues on something like that, even though it's extremely rare. But you know, you're worried about the person who's in your chair, who's on your massage table that you're piercing, and you're not really, you're so hyper focused on this one piercing, this one client, that you're not really paying attention to their friend who might be getting lightheaded. So
right. You know,
thank goodness now, like during the coronavirus era, I mentioned I was out of the shop for 6 weeks or so, but when we came back on May 4th, we weren't allowed to do facial piercings, and that's because mandatory mask usage while in the shop. So recently, this past Monday, June 22nd, we just got the go-ahead to be able to start doing facial piercings, and that's kept me busy. That's kind of revitalized my business, because that was like, almost half of my business beforehand.
Yeah.
And so I took a big hit, you know, when we stopped piercing. And That's when all the garden and everything came in. So I got really bored if I didn't know what to do with my hands.
I bet, man. I bet. Yeah, Mitzi was, you know, being in a salon, she was out that same time. She went back May 4th, but that month, that 6 weeks that she was off, she was like, she cooked more than we've been married. It'll be 15 years in October.
Congrats,
She
yeah.
cooked more. Thank you. She cooked more in that 6 week span than I think that like in any 6 week span since we've been together, man. Like she was like cooking good stuff too, man. Like finding recipes in the cookbooks and stuff. Like she was putting it
Yeah.
down. Like
I hope everybody keeps their hobbies going on. You know, I've noticed quite a few people making bread. Like they've never made bread before, and now they, you know, bake a loaf a day or 2 loaves a day, and it looks better every single time they cook. And that, I think that's really cool. And I even made, say I did my pandemic garden. I started making a knife, which was really cool. I'm in the final stages of just sanding it down into something super smooth, and
nice.
that's exciting. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, Mitzi, we've got rhubarb in this house that was already here when we moved in. So she made some rhubarb, some strawberry rhubarb jam.
Ooh, yeah.
I was like, bro, like, yeah, she was just back there a couple times making stuff rhubarb crisp, you know. I was like, hey, you can keep doing this. So, but I feel
And
you.
how are the kids liking her cooking?
Dude, they, you know, they enjoy that stuff too. Like even Jamila's been trying to cook, you know, she likes to bake anyway. So she made
Good.
some cookies the other day when she had one of her friends come over. So, you
And
know,
she's a
she's like,
teenager now, right?
yeah, man. Yeah.
That's
She'll,
exciting.
yeah, she's about to be in high school when school starts back. So,
I wish you luck.
oh man, it'll be crazy. Speaking of that though, you know, going off of your facial piercings.
Yeah.
Since that, they have been keeping track of all the news and the regulations for the piercing because Aria wants her ears pierced again,
Yep.
and Jamila wants her nose pierced. So Mitzi is like okay with her getting her nose pierced, and I'm like,
You know, my favorite, I'm huge. I love doing kids piercings. So like for everybody who doesn't know, you know, what I do or my shop Sushi Balloon, I pierce kids from ages 6, you know, and I'll pierce up to, you know, 60 years old, 70, 80, whatever. You want to come in and if you have proper anatomy for it, you can absolutely get a piercing. My favorite thing as of recent has been a lot of the younger kids, I consider them like coming of age piercing. So like, you know, a kiddo's earlobes. In fact, I just a few weeks ago, I pierced my first 9-year-old boy, and I had never pierced a young boy before because 95, 99% of my clients are female. And so seeing this young man get super excited and super pumped to get his ears pierced, like I was when I was 16, you know, and seeing him now at 9 years old and being super happy about that, I was just like overcome with emotion, and I was like, we're gonna make this the best experience you've ever had. And all my kids know that they know that I'm able to stop whenever they need me to, that it's all about their it's their speed of service. So if you just want to get things done, or if you know, we emotions might run high at times, so if you gotta tear up, I'm gonna say, hey, you know, it's totally okay to cry. Like, just because you cry doesn't mean you're not strong, you know? Emotions are for everybody. And so, you
Especially
know,
with something
maybe
like that.
absolutely. And so I think it's very important to tell kids about consent at that age. And so if you want this done, even if, you know, if you think you want two done right now, and after the first one, we don't want the second one done, well, that's okay too, because it's your choice, because it's your body. And consent is huge for me. You know, obviously there's a huge culture on the Me Too movement, which is extremely important in just seeing people being treated fairly. I think it's important for us to start that at a young age. And so I think consent for piercings can, and even though it's totally unrelated to everything else, it might allow them to be like, yeah, you know what, I have, because it's my body, I have
I
my
have a
own choice
choice.
for it. Absolutely. And you know what, because my piercer said, and he's, you know, he wasn't mean at all, you know, he appreciates that it is my choice. And so that, yeah, man, that's just big into me. I just get like super emotional with that. I think kids need to learn that. Absolutely. So
yeah,
that's my rant about that.
What's that the recovery time, the, you know, the average recovery time for, I know Mitzi had hers done recently, you know, that's when Jamila really started to want one, was after all the girls came, Mitzi and who was it, her sister and my sister-in-law, and then my brother-in-law's girlfriend or whatever.
Yeah, she had a group of people for sure, but you know, like the healing time on a nose is usually like, and people get surprised when I say it might be up to 6 months, because they say, well, you know, my friend said her piercing was healed in 2 weeks because it didn't hurt. Well, piercings aren't going to hurt. It's kind of like, you know, a scab or something like that. Your scab's going to hurt, you know, you scrape your elbow, it's going to hurt for a week, and then you got a scab on it, but it doesn't hurt. Doesn't mean it's healed, but it's just not hurting. And so I always tell people, you know, it takes about 6 months to fully heal, and then the wound has to mature a little bit too.
Right.
I could go into a lot of detail, but I can tell you, like, people would be dropping off the podcast left and right. But yeah, 6 months to heal, it may be that, and then, like, you know, you'll be sore for a week or two, if that. And every piercing's a little bit different. It depends on the thickness of the tissue, the texture. It depends on what piece of jewelry you pick. You know, if it's big and oversized and clunky, and it's put on too small of a post, well, that's going to cause issues too. So it's almost like it's not an official science, but it's almost like a science I'm learning. You got to choose the right piece and the right quality and the right placement, and you'll have a perfect piercing.
Cool. So what would your guidance be on, you know, if she were to get her nose pierced and returning to the mats, should she take, you know,
it's going to be a long time, man. She's going to need to take time off, and it's like light sparring for, you know, a couple of months. And then if you end up, you know, a nose piercing, if you take that out, you know, within your first 3 to 5 to 6 months, that's going to
shrink pretty fast,
up
right?
Quite a bit in a day. Yeah. And so I always tell people, like, noses are super finicky. You're better off getting other piercings if you're really like, and I know, like, we always say jujitsu's life, and I know Jamila loves jujitsu and Aria loves jujitsu. So, like, my recommendation would definitely be, like, no nose piercings for at least a while. You know, if there was another wave of coronavirus and that shuts down the gym, like, that would be your time, just like right before that. But I'll tell you what, I'm gonna get closed at just the same time, so you gotta time it right, you know.
Yeah.
But recently, like, I've been taking a few more precautions. So, like, I'm wearing a KN95 mask every day, and then now that I'm starting to do, like, oral piercings and nose piercings, just facial piercings in general, because people are able to take their mask off now for a short time, I just ordered face masks. So I'm starting to wear face masks too, or not face masks, but face shields, the little plastic shields.
Oh yeah.
That's just helping me protect my eyes. And, you know, I don't want, you know, maybe I'm asymptomatic or something, you know, someone gives me it, I'm asymptomatic, and I give it to 100 different clients. I don't want that. So I'm going to choose the absolute safest option every single time, just for my clients.
Yeah, and I feel you on that, man. That's my thing. Like, I'm out there, like, just in general in the public, like, when I'm going to the grocery store, like, yeah, I know I'm not required to wear a mask, but, like, if there's a chance that I could possibly get someone else sick, like, I'm going to wear a mask if that can help prevent that. Like, you know, so it's not much for me.
I feel like you're doing a disservice if you don't wear a mask into, you know, close-knit establishments, you know, like, you might not worry about it, but a lot of other people are. And and if you want to, there's no reason to need to stress somebody out more than they already are about this time of any time. Like, this is like Black Plague almost, you know. It might not be as deadly or anything like that, but it's a pandemic. We don't really have those too often. So be safe out there, people.
Yeah, that's what it is, man. You know, and I get that someone might say, oh, it's uncomfortable or whatever, but, like, how long are you wearing that mask? Like, when I go to the grocery store, I'm in there for 20, 30 minutes, and then I'm out, you know?
Absolutely.
If I go to a restaurant, I'm just picking up my food and I'm leaving, like, you know, so.
So my grocery store is a local Hy-Vee, and so they do the aisles to go where they bring it out to your car. We've only been doing that since this started. And in fact, I guess they've had so much business, they brought in a shipping container to keep like food cold more often. I guess they're getting so much business, they just had to like keep everything out there and they're freezing, you know, they're putting everything in like little totes with frozen water bottles to keep things cool. And they've streamlined the instead of just having a pull in, pull out aisle, it's a pull through aisle. So you're just going straight in and straight out. So definitely a little more streamlined for them.
Nice. Yeah, man. You know, and like you said, man, it's try to think of other people and other people's comfort level. So, you know, if you can take a small step to help someone else feel a little more comfortable, you know, why not do it?
And I mean, I guess while we're on that subject, Black Lives Matter 100%. Why don't we make a conscious effort to make someone else a little more comfortable that even though they're not, you know, it doesn't matter what race they are, we need to make, you know, we need to make people a little bit more comfortable, you know, being human beings. I 100% support the cause, you know, and I don't know. I know a lot of people are suffering from like they call it feed fatigue. Have you heard of that yet? Yeah.
No,
No. Okay. So like everybody's posting Black Lives Matter content, right? Well, some people are getting a little upset because that's all there is on their Instagram or on their Facebook. So they call it feed fatigue. They're just like, oh, I'm tired of this.
Yes,
You know?
that makes
And
it. I think
while,
I've had that.
yeah. So I mean, while that's valid, and I understand that more than a lot of people because I solely promote on social media. So like the better cause, Black Lives Matter, drowned out my little business for about 2 weeks. That's okay, you know, I'm totally fine with that. I'm in it to win it for the cause. And my, you know, like I was slow for a couple of weeks after that, and I could kind of relate it to like the protests going on, and more people wanted to be active in the social environment right now. So you know, I'm back up. I took, you know, a lot, not quite a loss, you know, for 2 weeks, but I saw a lot of people gaining traction on this movement, and I saw police officers that were rightfully terminated and arrested, and you know, that's important. Accountability is extremely important. I had that conversation with somebody else today, and she was like, "I can't believe that," and the issues going on in Omaha right now, and just all around the United States. You know, it's a strong, and I don't want to say scary climate, but everybody has such a strong opinion that it's hard to talk about it right now.
Well, see, and I think a big part of it in general anyway is just in today's world. I've said this before, any of this stuff started happening was because of social media and whatnot. People are on those platforms so much that they forget how to actually carry on an actual conversation and communicate. So, like, it's always been if you don't see things my way, I'm not listening to you, or I'm just gonna try to talk over you.
100%.
And it's like, bro, like, why are you so angry? Like, we can both have an opinion. We don't have to agree on every single thing to be friends. Like, it's okay.
Absolutely.
So
Absolutely.
just the art of communication, man, it's lost for a while. I think, you know, between a lot of people, and I think that all this just further prove that, you know.
Yeah.
I don't
Social
know, like,
media
I live in
has.
a I try to live in a world where everything is like I say, I live in a bubble, because no matter whatever's going on, I'm gonna try to make the most of my life and what's going on with me. So, like,
100%.
though I will acknowledge something, I'm not gonna let it have so much power over me to where it just ruins every day for me. Like, that doesn't make sense. So,
Right. Yeah,
but yeah,
man, I get
man.
it. I think we need to have like more open dialogue, and social media isn't the place for that, because one,
No.
you don't know, you can tell somebody's intention based off of their tone a lot of times in conversation. Us, we're having a serious yet friendly conversation, you know, we can tell that because of the how we word things, and the fluctuation of our tones and everything. And
Yep.
on Facebook you don't get that. I got into, you know, a few different debates with people from both sides, and you know, I don't count it as a win or a loss, but one gentleman I got in a fight with on my birthday last week, and I ended up adding him on Facebook because he was like, don't talk to me. So I added him on Facebook, and I messaged him, and I'm like, hey man, like, just because we have differences of opinions does not mean, and if I'm being honest, this was a black man, and we got in an argument about, you know, specific justice. And I'm saying, hey, I am not, just because I am, you know, having a different opinion than you do, doesn't mean we're not on the same side, and doesn't mean I'm not on a black ally, you know, and I don't appreciate being told, go back to Europe, as he said, and I'm sure you don't appreciate me saying, you know, go back to, you know, wherever, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But if we can find common ground, you know, which we were just talking about, responsible policing, if we can find common ground on what we believe is correct, then we can start working from there. Yeah. Rather than saying you're wrong and you're wrong and starting from opposite ends, let's say, what do we have in common, and then work out.
That, yeah. Yes, that is it, dude. That is so it right there, man. Like,
yeah.
That's what I'm, like, people just, and it's just in general, like they say, negativity is what gets the fanfare and the, you know, the attention most. So like, you gotta make a consistent effort to spotlight the positive things that are going on. So the same thing with relationships and stuff and things like that. Like, you have to find that common ground first and build off of that.
Absolutely. And
then, you know, you're probably not gonna change anybody's mind, you know, from a conversation on social media. So it's about getting that deeper dive, man, and building a relationship off of something. So,
and going into his personal messages and just making it private, I think allowed for a more open discussion.
Yep.
And it's just more personable, just even a little bit. It ended, he actually gave me his phone number, and we talk every couple of days now too. And we just talk about different social, you know, happenings, and, you know, he wished me a happy Father's Day. I wished him a happy Father's Day. We kind of talked a little bit, and, like, you know, it's no bad blood there at all. It was just, we had disagreements. There were some harsh things thrown around, which people don't necessarily mean. And, you know, as long as you can rectify those things, it's everything's okay. It's going to be okay, everybody.
Yeah. See, and that's the thing too, because I had a conversation with a white woman about, like, the riots and stuff and whatnot. And I'm like, hey, like, she was getting really, like, I was chill the whole time. And she was getting really upset because she was, like, super pro Black Lives Matter, you know, George Floyd, that was wrong. I'm like, hey, I'm not saying that, like, same thing you said. I believe that we're on the same side of the issue,
yeah,
but this is what I'm saying. I'm not saying that people can protest, go and protest, but I'm saying that there's people that aren't there to protest who are causing all of this, whether you believe it's somebody who's a part of the protest or somebody, like, she was trying to say that there were a lot of you know, implants from different areas and whatnot. I'm like, okay, I get that. I'm still not saying, I didn't say anything bad at all about protesting. I said riots. That's the only thing that I had a problem with, was people suffering additional loss. Like, just the whole two wrongs don't make a right thing.
Yeah, like, they're not synonyms.
Yeah, so, yeah, man, it's important to have those conversations. And I think, you know, with it being so easy, like you were saying, to, on a public post where it can easily be taken the wrong way, like, it is nice. And I, you know, like I said, I DM'd her on Twitter, and I was like, hey, just so you know, like, I'm not upset. I want to make sure, I could tell that you were kind of getting aggravated, and I just want to let you know that, like, I'm not mad. Like, you know, we can talk about it. And she was like, oh yeah. She's like, sorry, I just get so emotional about this. I was like, yeah, it's a tense topic. It's a tense situation. Like, I get it.
On the public forum, you got, you know, two people are having a conversation, and then a third and a fourth and a fifth person show up and then just start, like, attacking one after the other one person. And, you know, that's why I like going into personal or private messages, because you don't get that third party that brings up a different point. You're talking about the points at hand, and you're talking about, you're not, a lot of the times people want to use like different straw man arguments and such, and I'm not with that. I usually just like leave them be. So I just don't even respond. And
yeah,
all this All Lives Matter stuff, you know, you might say All Lives Matter, you know, All Lives Matter don't matter until Black Lives Matter. And it doesn't matter until White Lives Matter. It doesn't matter until, which obviously we see, like, America was built on the foundation of white lives. So it doesn't matter until everybody has to matter in their own respective way before all lives matter. We have to treat people equally and with respect. And
that's, you know, what it is, man.
We cover all of that, and people don't see that side, and then people breed hatred, and we don't like that. You know, that's not part of us. And I just want everybody to know that, like, Sushi Balloon is all inclusive, whether you're LGBTQIA, whether you're black and trans, whether you're Latino, Latinx, whatever. We want to, I guess it's just me. I want to help you be who you are, and I want to help you style yourself. I always tell people, you know, you care about your skin, you care about your hair, you care about your nails. Keep in mind, I'm dealing with a lot of females, right? And so care about those three things. Care about your jewelry too. We want to make sure that you're caring about your jewelry. So that's important.
Dude, I'm so glad that we sat down and talked, man. It's been a while in the making, and it's cool that it's right before you turn 1 year old. You know?
Yeah, I'm really excited. But like, in all seriousness, like, I mean, you know, you have your own business, and you're representing yourself frequently, and it's important that we represent ourselves in a professional manner, even though we're not. You know, we might not be at work, or our work might not be listed on Facebook or anything like that, but having genuine discussions can further the movement, you know. But enough on all that topic. I know we talked about feed fatigue, and we spent a great amount of time having really positive discussion on that subject. And it seems like every time we sit down and have a conversation, like at the gym or over some good food, we see every single time we have great discussions and we learn something new from each other.
Yeah, man. And that's what's hard for me. Like, I have a problem sometimes with things when I can't understand them. So being married to a white woman and being in a place like the dojo, where there's so many different people that walk through the door, you know, we're out in Bellevue, where you get a bunch of people from the Air Force and stuff, or, you know, just whatever. Like, I don't understand how, everybody's, like you were saying, everybody's got to be accountable for their actions and be responsible. And that's the only thing that I'm judging people off of. Like, I'm not judging people off of, like, the color of their skin, or if they're homosexual or whatever. Like, you know, I'm sometimes with, like, the homosexual thing, like, my mind is triggered just because I don't understand it, but I'm not mad at anyone for being you know, like, I just don't get why people get so upset about what's going on with other people. Like,
you know, I had a conversation with somebody about personal liberties, because, like, I will admit I'm a libertarian, you know, left-leaning libertarian, and, you know, people are like, oh, man, homosexuality and you know, gay rights and gun rights and, you know, marijuana rights and drug, whatever, and it's like, it's all just, you know, personal responsibility and personal liberties. It doesn't mean anything to you. It shouldn't mean anything to you just because someone else gets married or because someone else has a sex affirming surgery or something like that. It doesn't matter to people.
Yeah. Why are you?
I grew up with, like, a lot of, I have multiple gay relatives and lesbian relatives. And so, you know, I never really questioned it. You know, it was just, you know, my two aunts, you know, they live together. And so I can see where people from maybe, you know, like a small town who never really had that experience might be a little off put about it. But then again, there's no reason for you to pass judgment, at least, you know, verbally or anything.
Yeah.
Keep it to yourself. Like, you can think whatever you want, but keep it to yourself if you're gonna say mean things.
Yeah, and that's the part that, like, I just don't get why people are so angry about it. Like, why are you, like, are you an unhappy person and that's, like, you're just, like, projecting that out? Like, it's got to be, because I've never thought to have that anger when I didn't understand, you know, why, you know, something like that was a fact. Like, I might have some confusion, you know, or have questions, but I'm not angry. Like, I just don't get it.
Like, I have a friend who's got, you know, he has, his right leg is 1 inch shorter than his left leg. So he's got to have a little pad put under his shoe. I don't get it. There's confusion for me. What made that happen? Were you born like that? You know, but yeah. It doesn't matter in the long run. He's my buddy. He's my friend. He helped me out many times. So, and he, you know, he was just at my birthday. So, yeah, I think when we talk and have discussion, we can always further movements and further our ideas. And when we're left in a stagnant place and we're not learning anything anymore, that's when we become we fill with a negative emotion because we aren't progressing.
Yep.
You know, like personally or as a society or whatnot. It's just we just aren't progressing the way you're liking it, so you're a little upset because you're not learning anything.
Yep. I talked about it a few podcasts back with my guests, but you know, at the full-time job, they have this series that they were releasing with real people, and there was this lady who was very accomplished. You know, she was like a doctor and decided to stop being a doctor to go and be an author or something like that. And the thing that she said was, if we're not learning, we're dying.
100%. I can't agree more with that, dude. Like, I tell all my kids, like, that, you know, and I call like my clients, my young clients, I call them my kids.
Yeah.
I tell all the kids at the shop, like, you know, it might be summer, but we're going to learn a lot today. You know, we're going to learn about piercings and we're going to, you know, maybe learn about music. And I'm always putting whatever my clients want to listen to for the day, like, I'm putting that on. So, you know, Danelle, you like the Dixie Chicks. I know you like the Dixie Chicks. So we're going to throw that on for you today. You know, but in all reality, those ladies are actually making a new album, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be pretty fire.
Nice. Hey, man, I listen to whatever has a good beat, and, you know, it don't matter. So,
yeah, right. So,
hey, man.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So my little guy's coming here. I actually have a cat right now. So if everybody's watching on YouTube, yeah, you can see my little kitten here. His name's Beans. He might be 12 weeks old now, but I actually rescued him from my garden. I heard him meowing.
Really?
I found him, yeah, and he was very disheveled. He was super skinny, and he was about 1 pound, 12 ounces, and we took him to the doctor, and she said he needed to be about 3 pounds. So within a week or two, we were almost back at weight. We were at 2.5 pounds, and so he's doing great. He's loving the dog, and I'm really happy that he survived. And he's just a cute guy, and he purrs a lot, and he hates me.
Didn't you post something about him with the dog recently?
Oh my gosh, yeah. The dog terrorizes him constantly, but over the last couple of days, like right now, oh, there's the dog. He just started staring at him. So he's looking at the cat right now, and I'm sure he wants to chase him. If this cat jumps off the couch, the dog's going straight after him. But they've been cuddling together a little bit, and they've been hanging out, and it's been awesome. I love watching them start to cohabitate.
Yeah, that's dope, man. Well, I don't want to keep you too long, Kyle, but one thing I remember us talking about this before, and I thought was interesting, was the reason that you got into piercing. Like, not started to do it, but the reason that you got your first. Yeah.
That I got my first piercing. Oh, man. I remember this. Yeah. So, when I was a kiddo, you know, 5, 6 or whatever, I would go to the Omaha Zoo, the Henry Dorley Zoo. And in their rainforest exhibit, before they recently remodeled it, they had a picture of a, I don't know where he's from. He's a tribal person. He's a tribesman. He had a beautiful headdress, and he had this giant piercing in his septum. And I found out now it's like either bone or antler or something like that. And it was just this big old piece of jewelry in his nose. And I thought that was the coolest thing ever. I would catch myself staring at it for like 5-10 minutes at a time. And I thought that was super cool. And I mean, as I started doing a little bit more research, I found out that piercings, it predates written language. So it predates, it's like 10,000 years old at minimum right now. There's mummies with piercings in them that are 8 to 10,000 years old. And that was really influential to me. And I hung out with a lot of the metalhead kids at school, and I pierced my earlobes at 14 in the high school cafeteria, which was not the best decision. And when I was 16, I got them re-pierced. So I think that was really the starting point of it. And then just went from there. And oh my gosh, I think at one point I had 20 plus piercings. So that's kind of my story about how I got into it. And I believe if you guys want to see that, that picture that I was talking about with the tribesmen, I believe it's in the basement of the rainforest, you know, as you start to exit near the benches. So if anybody's, you know, at the zoo in Omaha and checks out the rainforest, definitely look at the very end as you're coming out, look for a tribesman in a headdress, and you'll see that same picture that I saw when I was, you know, 20 years ago.
And I think they either opened up or planning to open back up soon or something like that. I know I've seen something recently, so hopefully people can start visiting there again. So I don't know, man. Well, what else do you have? What would you like the people to know about Sushi Balloon?
Sushi Balloon. I'm appointment only right now during coronavirus. You got to wear a mask inside, but if you're getting facial piercings, you can take it off for a moment. I'm not the cheapest in the world because I carry high-end and high-quality jewelry. I carry my titanium, my implant-grade steel. I carry 14, 18-karat gold and genuine diamonds and genuine gemstones and all the fun stuff. But you will absolutely fall in love with all my jewelry that I have in the shop. I bootstrapped my own business. I didn't take out any loans for it. This is all a lot of hard work that I've really set up for. So I'm very excited for this 1 year anniversary, and I'm excited to see the future.
Nice. And where can they find you at, you know, social media and everywhere? Phone number?
Facebook. Yeah. On Facebook, you can find me, at Sushi Balloon Body Piercing and Fine Jewelry. On Instagram, you can find me at Sushi Balloon, at Sushi Balloon Piercing. And then email, sushiballoon@icloud.com. I have a website, sushiballoon.com, where you can book your appointments. Goodness gracious, Me Too movement matters, Black Lives Matter, LGBTQIA matter. I think if you come into my shop, you will be respected.
Yep, and give respect. Always give respect too, you know, because you don't want Kyle to choke you out. All right. But man, Kyle, thank you for being on, man. Again, it was good to see you again. Like I miss, you know, rolling with you, talking with you. You know, it's all love, man. It's all
dude,
love.
I appreciate you so much. Thank you for having me on. I hope everything's the best, and I hope I get to actually see you in person very shortly.
For sure, man, for sure. Hopefully at the dojo or somewhere else. Maybe we'll go out and eat once all that, you know, pops back open.
Absolutely,
so.
Absolutely. All right, man, I'll see you around.
Well, hold on, before we go.
Oh, yeah.
Before we go, bad. You know, I just got to tell everybody, thank you for tuning in, whether you're listening to the podcast, the audio version, or if you're watching on YouTube. Thank you so much. Please help us grow. Share this story about Kyle and Sushi Balloon and his growth over the last year. And, you know, we appreciate you tuning in. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And smile, help someone else smile. Laugh and help someone else laugh all day, every day. That's what it is. Peace out. Yeah. Thank you, Kyle.